Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Psalm 19. Please, Psalm 19. When Roger made contact with me this afternoon, I was kind of sent in a, I don't know, I wouldn't call it turmoil, but let's just say I put it in high gear. You know, you can't idle any longer. And so I began to pray and think about what we should do, what direction we should go. It's a little bit late to get a brand new message up. And I thought, well, maybe I preached something I preached before. But no, the Lord led me to go a little deeper and a little farther from where we were on Sunday morning. So I want us to come back to Psalm 19. And we're not going to rehash what we said. We're going to cover some new ground and sum some things up that I think will more or less complete our train of thought that we had going on Sunday morning as we considered the Holy Scriptures. And you may recall we dealt with the clarity of Scripture. We've already dealt with the authority of Scripture. But now I want to put our focus upon living by the book. That's the title of the message tonight, Living by the Book. And I want us to read again, beginning in verse 7 of Psalm 19. This will sound familiar to you. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What a passage this is on the Scriptures. So I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, living by the book. As we have said, the Bible is God's book. It is, isn't it? It's a book unlike any other. It's a one-of-a-kind book. No other book tells us what this book tells us. No other book does what this book does. And I don't have to tell you, but I will, as by way of reminder and maybe by way of a wake-up call, this book being what it is and doing what it does, we are so blessed to have it in our church. True? We are so blessed to have it in our homes. True? We are so blessed to have it in our hands. True? Our own personal copy. Hasn't always been that way in the world. In fact, printing presses weren't even invented till 1456. That goes back a few years. But there's a whole lot more years before that, before you had printed copies of the Bible. We take that for granted. So it's wonderful to have the Bible in our church, in our homes, in our hands, but something better. And that is to have the Bible in our heart. To know it. To know it well. To know what it means. And even to memorize it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Two things I'd like to bring out in the message tonight. In one part of the message, we're going to be right here in Psalm 19. The second part of the message, we're going to turn and look and glean a few thoughts from another text. But I want us to come back to what we looked at last Sunday morning when we did not cover a lot of what we had read then, and there's so much here you could probably do a series of messages just out of these verses 7 through 11 that we've read again. But in the first part of the message, I want us to consider this part of our topic tonight, and that is what the Bible does for us. And if you're looking for notes, we don't have them simply because I didn't have time to get them. It was all I could do to get them ready. And we didn't have time to get them up on the overhead. It's not their problem. They do such a good job. And thank you all, Leah, for being up there. It is Leah, isn't it? It is. I just saw the reflection of you from the screens up there. And I know you would have them if I'd had time to get those to you. So what the Bible does for us. I believe if we understand well what the Bible does for us, then we would pay more attention to it. I think we don't realize sometimes just how much the Bible means to us and what it actually does for us. Look at the list again of verses, beginning verse 7, and let's just slow down and look at some of the things listed right here of what the Bible does for us. The law of the Lord is perfect. First thing, converting the soul. That's what the Bible does. If you're converted, that's why. Because you heard the truth from this book. That's what the Bible says. What does that mean, converting the soul? To be converted means to be turned around. Conversion is a turning around. We may think of it as a 180. And it's the transformation that takes place in our life. It's what we often refer to when we say the Scriptures or the truth of Scriptures takes us out of darkness into light. It brings us from death into life. It brings us from a life of sin and a life of selfishness and self-centered thinking into a life of holiness and a life of Christ-centered living and Christ-centered thinking. It all comes about through the Word. Let me give you a couple Scriptures to kind of think about, and you can jot the verses down, though we won't have them on the overhead. Don't have time to turn to them, but you can just jot down the references if you care to. James 1:18 tells us that our new birth depends upon the Scripture. It does, in fact, give us new birth. It does, in fact, convert us. Here's what it says. James 1:18. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. 1 Peter 1:23 states it like this, same idea, different words. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So it is this living word, this seed, this incorruptible seed, the word of God, that gets in our hearts, and God uses that. That's the agency. That's the means by which we are born again. The Spirit of God taking the Word of God to bring the life of God into the human heart and human soul. That would be blessing enough, wouldn't it? That's reason for everybody on this planet to get a hold of this book and start reading it. That alone. So it converts the soul. Notice something else here. It makes wise the simple. The rest of verse 7 says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The simple meaning those that don't know what they ought to know. Simple in the book of Proverbs is the idea of being naive, of being open-minded, to where anything can be poured in. And you know, a lot of people are like that, aren't they? We know that all too well. It's like they're open-minded, so open that anything can be poured in. And so everything comes in. What they see on television, what they see on social media, it all comes pouring in. And you know what the old saying is, when computers came about, garbage in, garbage out. That was the old saying. Well, that's true of life. Long before computers, what we put in is what our life will reflect. So we need wisdom. That is the point. And remember the verse we have looked at, and I'll mention again now because it's such a wonderful verse. It reminds us in the training of our children, how important it is to train them here at church, here in our home, as parents, grandparents, all the influence we can have upon a child. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. A third thing that the Bible does for us, it rejoices the heart. Look at verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I think everybody can use a whole lot more joy. Don't you believe that? And why is it that people don't have joy? Could it be that they're just not in the Bible enough? Because the Bible says that it will rejoice the heart. I find that's the case, don't you? When you're in your Bible, there are things there that God has said that causes us to rejoice. That's not a giddy feeling. That's not always wearing a smile or anything like that, or jumping up and down. Rejoicing or joy is something much deeper than that. And so this is what the Bible does. It rejoices the heart. It gives deep and abiding joy. Jesus said this when he was on earth in John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And those were his spoken words, but we know that most of his spoken words, many of his spoken words, we'll use that word, probably be a more accurate word, many of his spoken words are recorded in Scripture. So if he says, these things have I spoken to you, that your joy may be full, then we can read those very words and our joy will be full. 1 John 1:4, the first epistle, the Apostle John writes, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That's one of the reasons he wrote that epistle, is to bring rejoicing and joy to the heart. Something else it does, it enlightens the eyes. Look at verse 8 again. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That same Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And then Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We live in a lot of darkness. There's a lot of spiritual darkness, a lot of darkness as far as how to live and what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go. And we need the light of truth shed abroad upon our path. There's several kinds of sight. And I've shared this with the Sunday school class in previous weeks. I love to think about the different kinds of sight. You know what they are? You're familiar with them. Let me just remind you of them. One of them is eyesight. How precious is our eyesight? Can I hear an amen? And every time we read the Bible, it's a good time to remember the blessing of eyesight. A lot of things we can see, but just to be able to read the Bible, what a blessing. And to see the beauty of nature and all that. So there's eyesight. Then we know there's hindsight. We say hindsight's always 20/20, don't we? Because you can see things that have happened. You say, oh, I see that now. Yeah, you see it now. That's hindsight. Then we have foresight. That's good. You can see things up ahead of time. That is, you can see something coming. You can see some date approaching. You can see some need that's coming. And you make provision. That's always good. But there's another kind of sight. And that's insight. And that's what the Bible can give us. Insight. How to live. How to make sense of life. How to make right decisions. How to do the things that honor the Lord. So it enlightens the eyes. And then it enriches us. It enriches us. Look at verse 10 in our text. More to be desired are they than gold. The they there is referring to the Scriptures, the judgments of the previous verse, to be more precise. But the Bible, the verses of Scripture, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Proverbs 3 says it this way, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. That's what God says about wisdom. You cannot compare the value of what this book teaches to anything else or all of it put together. This is not just exaggeration when God says this in verse number 10. This is absolute fact. More to be desired than they are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Over to Psalm 119, verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. So Scripture enriches us, not with material wealth, but something that's so much greater and more valuable than material wealth. Surely we're not like the world that all we can value has a dollar sign in front of it. I hope we're not like that. We know the things that are really valuable, the things that money cannot buy, the things that death cannot take away. These are real valuables, aren't they? And the Bible gives us these true riches. Something else the Bible does for us, it satisfies us. That's the end of verse 10. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. It's satisfying. It's sweet to the soul. And the reason it's sweeter than honey, because it tells us about the Lord and all of His many blessings. He is so good. Taste the Lord and see that He is good, is what the Scripture says. Matthew 4:4, you remember when Jesus was out there tempted in the wilderness, He answered the devil and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, bread's pretty good, but there's something better. Job, with all of his trials, all of his troubles, he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Think of that. I have put a higher value on the words of God, the truths of God, than in my physical food. We need physical food. God knows that. But we need so much more, and He's given us that, that satisfies. Then He tells us that it is used to warn us of danger. Verse 11, moreover, by them, that is by the Scriptures, is thy servant warned. I want you to go back and look at verse 9. Here's one of the descriptions of the Bible. Don't miss this description. It's a little bit unusual, isn't it? You have the law of the Lord, verse 7, testimony of the Lord, verse 7, statutes of the Lord, verse 8, commandment of the Lord, verse 8. Then you come to verse 9, and the description of the word is this, the fear of the Lord. That's a description of the Word of God. Why so? Why would that be a description of God's Word? Because that's exactly what it causes in our hearts. It brings that about. It generates that. It develops that. It causes us to fear God. If you can read this book and not fear God, you have missed the whole point. Everything in this book calls you to fear God. A God who can speak a world into existence, and a God, that same God that we have to give an account to, a God that's perfectly holy and righteous, and that God that we have to appear before, and we will end up in front of one day, and to know that He can take us out just like He brought us in. Now, the fear of the Lord, that's the Word of God. And so, by them, by the Scriptures, is thy servant warned. It warns us of danger. It warns us to be right with God. Yes, it does. And then it does something else. It motivates us to obey God. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And we know that because that's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us not only what to do, but it tells us that when you do this, God will bless you both now and in days to come when we stand before Him. It does all of these things and so much more. Now, I've run out of time. That's one thing the Bible can't do. Can't give me more time. Can't give you any more time either. Well, we're out of time, aren't we? I can't believe it. So I'm going to have to save that last part, because I'm sure we've got another 10 minutes probably, at least. And here we are straight up 8 o'clock. And I wanted us to go over, and I'll just tell you what we were going to cover, and we'll cover it maybe in due time. And that is not only what the Bible does for us, but what must we do with the Bible? And I'm going to lay some things out that we must do with the Bible if we're going to get the most benefit from it. So with that, we'll just pause it. And Lord willing, we'll come back to that before too long. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, you've told us in your word that the Bible is able to make us wise unto salvation. Maybe there's someone here struggling with their salvation or struggling with the assurance of salvation. Lord, help them to know that it's not complicated and it's not hard to figure that out. You have told us in very clear terms that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, to show that He was truly the Son of God as He came up out of that grave, and also to show that the price had been paid in full and it was satisfactory as far as you were concerned. And He rose again for our justification, as the Bible says. There's nothing else to be done except to receive by faith what Christ has done. So if there's anyone here, Lord, tonight that needs salvation, help them to know how simple it is. And by faith, help them to open their heart and receive Christ fully and finally and forever. And then to live for Christ, to turn their life over to Christ, to repent of sin because it offends you. Just to think that Christ had to die for sin is enough to cause us to turn from it and to hate it and not to want to do it any longer and live in it and let it guide us in our thinking and our actions. So may we repent if we need to repent and believe if we need to believe for the first time or again tonight, to confess our faith in Christ and also, Lord, to repent of all sin as best we know it, to turn from it and to live a holy and godly life. Help us to do what we need to do in this moment of time as we sing now our hymn of dedication and commitment. We pray in Jesus' name.